Welcome to Better Sex, where you get the information and inspiration to create and enjoy your best possible sex life. Join your host, sex therapist Jessa Zimmerman, as she brings you expert guests, helpful tips, knowledge, and strategies to improve your intimate relationships. And now, your host, Jessa Zimmerman.
Hey, it's Jessa. Welcome back to another episode of the Better Sex Podcast. Thank you for tuning in and spending some time with me. As I have been working on my Desire Spa program, which is specifically for women who are struggling to be interested in sex in their otherwise happy relationship, one of the things that comes up a lot with people is a barrier to desire to be sexual with their partner is body image issues, self-consciousness, and shame about their body. And it is a real block. You know, if you even have sex, you might be self-conscious and aware and in your head and worried, or you might avoid it altogether. And the thing is, this does not just affect women. This affects everybody, or it can affect everybody. This disconnect and this struggle to accept our bodies the way they are and then just show up and live in them, you know, and start to make change. So my guest today, I am just delighted to have Elizabeth Dahl here to talk about body freedom, which is the antidote to that shame and self-consciousness. And I'm going to let her describe this whole concept of body freedom and talk about how we can get there and what this does for us. Enjoy. And before we start the show today, it is sponsored by Intimacy with Ease. It's a method to help otherwise happy couples achieve a sex life that is easy and fun for both of them, so that you can actually just enjoy your sex life with zero stress. For more information, if you want to watch a brief little training video that's available, all of that, go to intimacywithease.com. So, Elizabeth, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I am really excited to talk to you, to have this recorded for everybody. I think it's just so important. And I want to start by asking you, how would you even define body freedom? Like, you know, why do you use that term? What's it feel like? What's it mean? Set the context for us here.
Oh, I love that question, actually. What I think about when I think about the word freedom is the ability to experience what and how you want to experience. So when I share the words body freedom, it makes me think that we're not immune to having difficult days with our bodies, or we're not immune to ever not feeling crummy in our bodies or anything like that. But we are able to make the choice to step into freedom. We are able to say, okay, what am I feeling? How am I feeling about this? And realign with the way that we want to feel in our bodies. So when I think of the word freedom, it really is about a choice to stay stuck or frustrated in a negative body image, or a choice to say, okay, I'm going to step into the body image that I want to create for myself.
And I assume, or at least I think what you're saying is that we have that choice today. I mean, nothing's going to change about how my body looks today, you know, while I'm pulling my pants on. But yeah. I have a choice of how I experience that before my body has changed at all.
Yeah. And one of my favorite quotes is, when I truly love myself as I am, then I can change. And so a lot of women come to me and say, I want to change my body. I want to lose weight or whatever. And I say, that's a good goal. It's okay to have those goals. We don't want to negate any of those goals. It's okay to have your own goals and what you're wanting. But one of the ways that we have to start is actually by learning to accept the body that we have so that we can work with it to create the change that we want, if that change is desired.
And that that just strikes me as like totally opposite.
Yeah.
But most people, I mean, okay. Yeah. I mean, I've been there, right? Like, oh, I love my body once I do X, Y, or Z, right? I've got to do all this work so I can get to a place where I can accept myself. Then, you know, someday in the future, that's when that'll happen. It's the other way around, huh?
Yeah. Well, have you ever gotten there? Right?
I have, but not in a way that I can maintain.
And that was something that when I used to work in like the corporate wellness world, that was the biggest thing that would come up was they would say, well, I had lost all this weight, but I didn't feel any better in my body. Like I didn't expect that. They didn't expect that they weren't going to feel better or want to chase more.
Yeah.
Or how often do we tell ourselves, oh, I wish I, like when we think about, I don't even know, our high school bodies or our college bodies. And we're like, why didn't I love that then? What was I thinking? I'd give anything for that right now. Right. Sometimes there's that dialogue that comes up, and it really is about learning how to work with your body to create the change so that then it's, like you said, sustainable, right?
Yeah. And it's like, so it's not like a number on the scale or particular size or shape, or, you know, we probably, I think you're hitting it right. A lot of us didn't love whatever anybody we've ever had. And so why would we think it's like, that does seem like it's got to be the work.
Yeah. And it doesn't always have to be the word love. I think it's really important to allow yourself the freedom to use the words that you want, right? Acceptance, neutrality. It's okay if you even come to a place of my body does the things that I need it to do, and that's good, right? So whatever word you want to use, gratitude, body freedom, body acceptance, body love, that's your word and that's okay. But we have to start by stepping into that identity before we even begin the change.
What do you mean by working with your body then towards the change? That, and maybe that's a really broad question. I don't know.
It's a great question. When we step into, let's just say, weight loss or change, how often does it come from a place of desperation? Desperation to get out of the body that we have, right? So all of a sudden, we've kind of detached from our body. We're this person and we want to become this person, and we kind of detach. Like my body's not worthy of being taken care of at this size, but it will be here. So what we're trying to think about when we're thinking about working with our bodies is how do we essentially bring that back together and say, okay, I see where my body is. I see where I want it to go. And the only way that I'm going to be able to get there is if I learn how to work with it. And you mentioned that it was really hard to create kind of sustainable habits, right? We could get our bodies where we wanted them to go, but we couldn't sustain it. And so when we work with our bodies, we learn how to sustain habits that we enjoy, that support us, so that we can keep going instead of reaching that like 30-day window or 60-day window and then almost sabotaging again and working against our bodies.
Yeah. It's landing on me like we're trying to, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but like there's a positivity around this about trying to nourish and feed and support and accept and like honor the body that I have right now, as opposed to derogatory thoughts and beating myself up and starving myself or whatever that it's coming from, almost like a punishing place. Right.
We call it the shame cycle, or one of the things that I call it is the diet cycle. And I wish we could visualize this. Maybe I can create a visual for you. But a lot of times we enter the diet cycle or the shame cycle from a place of that desperation or that desire to get out of our bodies. So we don't want to be in our bodies. We're desperate to get out of them. So we find any sort of diet that we can find to get us out of that. And then we start seeing results, or we start, some things change and we're like, oh, this is great. You know, I can do this. And then life happens. We get tired of the boiled chicken and the veggies, right? We don't see results. We have a stressful day. We don't sleep. And all of a sudden we turn to the cookies and the treats, and then we fizzle, right? We spiral down. I'm going to overeat. And then that cycle just happens again when we're ready to say, so we've given up, right? We've given up in that cycle. And then we come back in and be like, okay, it's January 1st. It's Monday. It's my birthday. And I'm going to start over. And it starts again with that first point of shame with our bodies.
Yeah. And how do you relate that to, you know, relationship with food specifically, or other kinds of, I don't know, other kinds of things that are influencing that shame cycle, maybe?
Absolutely. we call them in, I have a food freedom program, and what we call them inside our program is our outside voices. So we have been told by the media, the wellness culture, the wellness industry, diet culture, all of that, that this is the way it's supposed to be. This is the way you're supposed to look. This is how you're supposed to eat. This is how you're supposed to exercise, right? And so we almost, it's like a losing battle when we're trying to follow what they're saying to do. And we follow those, and then we don't get the lasting results we want. Maybe we don't get any results, and it's frustrating. So one of the things that I love to recommend is that you are capable of creating change within yourself. And my job is to help you find it because it's scary, because we've always we've always sought the advice of the outside world. And so what we're saying here is, what if you started looking inside? What do you think could change?
And what kind of answers come up for people around that?
That they are capable of meeting the needs of their own body. So they're capable of listening to their emotions, right? And dealing with their emotions and knowing that they know what to do with them instead of turning to the ice cream. That they're capable of choosing movement that they enjoy and that they will keep doing. That they are capable of knowing when they're hungry and when they're full, and knowing how to stop when they're full instead of overeating, and knowing how to honor when they're hungry, right? When we start to listen to these inner cues, our body speaks to us. But there's so much noise outside that's trying to say, eat this many calories or this many macros. And it's okay to have some guides, right? We learn science and things like that, but recognizing that you are capable of meeting your own needs and stepping into that identity creates actions that actually meet those needs.
Going to take just a short little break to let you know about a new online course that I've got available called The Desire Spa. This is for women who are in an otherwise happy relationship but are struggling with sexual desire. This is a course just for you to figure out what is in the way of your desire, how to tune in and connect with what you could actually enjoy about physical intimacy, how to deal with all of this with your partner to totally transform your sex life. So it can be something you look forward to. And basically, it can just be one more great part of your relationship with your partner instead of this thing that drags you down. The first step would be to sign up for my free masterclass at intimacywithease.com/masterclass. It'll talk about how to want sex again and lead into the next steps if you are interested in joining me in the spa. Back to the show. So what are the kinds of thoughts and feelings and experiences somebody has who's in body freedom? So let's say somebody has inhabited this and still is working towards a different size or, you know, something. What are the kinds of thoughts they're having in their head as opposed to the ones so many of us have?
Yeah, I love this question. And in fact, I'm going to share a little experience a couple of my clients had. Interestingly enough, on back-to-back days, they don't know each other. They're totally separate. But we had been working on this body freedom idea because that was something that they needed to come to be able to create the change that they wanted. And both of them on two separate days, back to back, told me that they stepped out of the shower. This is getting a little intimate here, but this is the perfect podcast for it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They stepped out of the shower and looked in a mirror, and for the first time in their life said, "My body is good." And one of them I love just shared that she called it mirror moments. And to have a moment in the mirror that you don't have to say your body's perfect or exactly where you want it to be, right? We don't have to have those expectations, but to be able to say, my body is good and it's good where it is and it's good where it's going. And it's okay to see the beauty on the whole journey.
Yeah. That seems really powerful. And I've heard, you know, the sort of the power of mirror work. Like, is that something that's part of your program and part of your recommendation, that there's a coming face to face with ourselves?
It's not something I teach on, but it's something that happens, right? Like, it's one of those things where you start to step into the body freedom practice, right? The body gratitude, body acceptance, anything that you're wanting to step into, you start to have those moments. Oh, I was able to honor my hunger yesterday and I didn't overeat because I knew that my body was worthy of honoring my hunger instead of saying, well, I've screwed up. I might as well just overeat. You see the difference there?
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking about, the, you know, a part of the reason I invited you on the podcast is because things like body image issues, I don't even know if that's a word you use, body yeah. slavery, the opposite of freedom. I don't know.
Prison, maybe?
Yeah, body prison. It shows up for people with sex, right? Like if you don't feel good in your body, if you're self-conscious, if you're wondering what your partner thinks about your body, all that stuff can be such a deterrent to, first of all, being present, but even potentially having sex. What would you say to people that are where this is really a barrier for them?
That's a great question. And that is one thing that starts to come up for women as they start to step into this is they'll tell me that they're feeling better in their bodies, right? And so they're trying to take that next step. And I'm not the expert in the bedroom, but basically to say you're the expert there,
right, right.
Basically to say that when we start to show up in that way, we kind of give ourselves, what would I call it? Unapologetic permission to show up as we are. And so just as you're seeing yourself in the mirror as good, you can then show up in that relationship. And I know that there is probably a mix of relationships where the spouse may or may not say anything about body image, but the majority of the women that I have talked to or heard from, they tell me that their partners, it's not even a thing. Like it's very yeah. minimal. And they are not saying the women are the only ones that are saying anything about their bodies or thinking anything about their bodies. I know that's not for everyone, but
right.
a lot of situations I've heard that these women are saying, my husband just wants me to show up and like feel good.
Yeah.
And when I can do that, things are good.
Yeah. So it's sort of in their own head and they're thinking their partner has these thoughts and judgments, but not even there.
Yeah. Often it's not there.
Right. So what are some, I don't know, some of the steps that you walk people through, like in terms of simple actions people might take, or I know you talked about mindset shifts. I don't know if we've addressed all of, probably not all of that, but like what are some of the actual little nuggets people might take away from this interview?
Yeah. What I would say is start by choosing to step into this idea of body freedom, right? It's probably a little bit of a foreign concept, something new that you haven't tried before. And so you have to be willing to say, okay, I'm going to step into this and know that I can be safe and it's safe for me to step into this idea of body freedom. From there, we usually try to start with a gratitude practice. Right? Mm-hmm. Seeing your body for the good that it is, whatever you want. It doesn't have to be in front of the mirror. I know that can be stressful for some at first. It might be too overwhelming, but even just stating the things that your body does for you every day, right? Looking for the gratitude. Then from there, I suggest that everyone find what I call a body freedom practice. And this is an action that you take each day or, you know, throughout the week that will help you step into this idea of feeling the body freedom, body acceptance, body love. So for example, let me just give you a couple ideas. Some women go through their social media accounts and unfollow people that maybe make them feel less than in their bodies, right? Some women have really difficult conversations with members of their family who make comments about their bodies or judgments. Mm. That's a big one.
Yeah. Or their partner, right?
Or their partner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some women have to say some affirmations like, my body is good, my body is healthy, my body is worthy of being loved, like stepping into that. So I really leave it up to everyone to kind of make those choices, but you want to think about one action that you can take every day that helps you get into the mindset of body freedom.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, I mean, I have a sort of not quite unrelated question, but it's coming to me. Do you also work with people who've got issues with their body that's not about weight? I mean, I assume that's a big part of the people that are thinking about this, but people that have disability or some other sort of physical difference or change, or I don't know, post mastectomy, or, you know, I'm thinking about all the different ways people can be affected in their relationship to their body.
Yeah. I'm actually really glad you brought this up because I do work with a lot of women who maybe have some autoimmune diseases or mm-hmm. have been told they have to eat a certain way or they have these food intolerances or things like that. And I have a little bit of my own journey on that path with each baby that I've had a new food intolerance show up. It's been very weird.
Wow.
I'm convinced my babies are little viruses, but I love them dearly. And one of the things that usually happens at first is we start to see this, what I call quote condition, right? Any sort of condition that we have or disability as a burden. Why me? This is frustrating. I have to do it this way. And it's okay. It's okay to experience those feelings. We can't control our emotions. The only thing that we can control is how we respond to them. So I say, it's okay to experience that. And then take a minute to think, what can I do with this? And so from there, we look for the opportunity in the limitation. For me specifically, you know, I was told to go off several different kinds of food, and it was a very different lifestyle than I was used to. And at first it was very frustrating and difficult. And now I'm a few years into it, and it's a really great gift because I have learned amazing things about my body. I've become closer to my body. I understand it better. I've gotten better at cooking. And so although I still have my moments of this feels hard, this feels heavy, and those are going to come, right? Especially if we have disabilities and we see those differences openly. It's also really important to come back to, where's the opportunity in this? Can I see opportunity in the limitation versus away from the limitation?
Yeah. Well, and it seems to cycle back to where we started too, about having a choice of acceptance or neutrality or embracing so that we can go on and just live, or a choice of being stuck and frustrated and sort of beating our head against the wall.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How are the ways people can work with you? Like, talk a little bit about what you've got available for people.
Yeah. So if someone really wants one-on-one support, they want that really high level one-on-one support. I do have one-on-one coaching for a small number of clients. The biggest thing that I offer is my food freedom program. So if you have what I call a messy relationship with food or your body, right? You're stuck in the diet cycle, like we talked about, or you're feeling like you want to try a different way and not go back on that diet cycle and fail again and do that same, I call it the roller coaster, because you know, you're up and down and you're never finding that really good balance. That's what my food freedom program is. And we start by helping you step into this idea of body freedom while then healing your relationship with food, so that what we talked about before, where you can step into this identity of I am capable of meeting my own needs and creating change from a place of essentially intuitive, right? A place that I'm capable of meeting those needs and I can create change through those. That's what we help you work through inside the Food Freedom Program.
And is that something that is available all the time, or is that something that people wait for?
Yes, it's twice a year. I open it twice a year because I get to be your coach in there. So I am in there and we are having coaching calls and I walk you through the whole program so that I can show up for you and help you create that change that you want.
Okay. So where do people find out about this and get on the wait list, things like that?
It's awomanofwellness.com/food freedom. And we can put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes. So yeah, people don't have to write that down, but great. Anything I forgot to ask you?
Oh goodness. I don't know. I think probably the thing that I would end with is a lot of women come to me feeling like they've tried over and over and they feel stuck, or they feel like they've failed and they don't know how to get out of it, or they feel like they just have to accept where they are. And I think there's a different kind of acceptance, right? We can accept our bodies with also that knowledge that we can step into change and be able to meet our needs and be able to step into the identity of the woman of wellness we want to become. And the cool thing about that is that your identity of that woman is different than mine. That's good. And I want to, instead of creating wellness as a cookie cutter approach, everyone should be this size and do this exercise and eat this food, I want to help you step into the identity of what you want. If you like yoga, great. If you like CrossFit, great. There's no right or wrong answer, but the answer that you come up with will be the right one for you.
Yeah. Well, and it strikes me how different acceptance is from resignation.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
it's a whole different thing. Right. Exactly. I give up. Right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Yes. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it very much.
You've been listening to Better Sex. Please visit our website, bettersexpodcast.com, for show notes and additional episodes.
And that's a wrap for today. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you are enjoying the podcast, if some of this material resonates with you and you would like to make a difference and make sure that this keeps coming out in the world once a week, ongoing, there are a couple things you could do to show your appreciation. The first would be to go to iTunes and rate and review the show. That really helps us be found by new listeners when you review the show on iTunes. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/iTunes. The other thing I want to invite you to consider is becoming a Patreon. For a small monthly pledge, you get some benefits. So for $2 a month, you get advance access to every single episode. For $5 a month, you get a chapter of my upcoming new book. And for $10 a month, I host quarterly get to know you and question and answer chats over the web, and you get invited to that. I would love to have your membership in that become part of the Better Sex family. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/Patreon, which is P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Again, thanks for listening. I'm glad you're here. Feel free to comment, ask questions, get in touch. I'd love to hear from listeners. Thanks.